Hi, this is Kit Bond, speaking to you from our nation's capital. Welcome to what we hope will be the last edition of Washington Listening Post for 2008. We're having an on-the-record conversation with two Missouri journalists talking about national issues that affect your lives. With me today are Nancy Simpson with KTTS in Springfield and Adam Allington with KWMU in St. Louis. For many of us in Missouri and across the nation, December is a month of bustling celebrations with family, friends, and the holy season. But for workers who could lose their jobs if the auto industry goes under, this holiday season is one of anxious worry. I know that in Missouri, auto workers are not the only ones worrying. Other folks have real and valid concerns about spending their tax dollars to rescue the American auto industry. I understand that and share the bailout fatigue that so many of these Missourians feel. I, too, am troubled by government intervention in the private markets. But when it became clear that more than 200,000 jobs in Missouri and millions nationwide were in jeopardy, and our economy was already struggling with a severe recession, I took a hard look at our options to see if rare government intervention would be warranted. I looked at those options presented initially by Democrats Barney Frank and Harry Reid and didn't like what I saw. They didn't include any tough provisions on the auto companies or real protections for taxpayers. I also looked at what the cost of doing nothing and letting the companies go into bankruptcy would be. In addition to the massive job loss and blow to our already struggling economy, there were other problems, too. It would set off a domino effect, bringing down those dependent upon them, the parts suppliers, the dealers, and other auto industry participants. After taking a hard look, I decided I wouldn't turn my back on Missouri workers and businesses, and I wouldn't turn my back on taxpayers. Working across the aisle, I helped craft a plan that would provide emergency loans, but also include strong taxpayer protection so that taxpayers are repaid. My proposal also included executive accountability so that failed executives would not be rewarded for poor management. In addition, the plan I co-wrote required significant financial reform so that the recipients of loans would have to demonstrate a viable plan to ensure their long-term competitiveness, health, and profitability, bringing their costs under control. Auto companies need to present a plan with real and significant cuts and restructuring measures in order to see 1 cent of taxpayer money. Right now, with a slim minority in Congress and a Republican in the White House, fiscal conservatives like me have some leverage to demand these taxpayer protection and tough requirements on the auto industry. President-elect Obama and the Democratic leadership made clear they will pass a rescue plan, whether it's this year with taxpayer protection and financial reform, or next year when they control the House, Senate, and White House. That's why I'm fighting to adopt these conservative principles now. It's critical that we in Congress act soon, but we must act responsibly. Any plan that we pass must include the principles I've fought for: taxpayer protection, financial reform, and executive accountability. We must keep American workers from getting pink slips in their stockings and keep taxpayers from getting stuck with an irresponsible tab. Let's begin the questions with Adam.
Yes, Senator, I would like to just follow up on the auto industry bailout bill that seems to be gaining a critical mass now on the Hill. Do you have confidence that something will be passed here very shortly? And again, if you could just hone in why you feel your sort of support with accountability is very important for Missouri.
I literally just received the language in my office before I sat down at the microphone. I am a show-me state guy, and I want to see the language before I buy anything. I want to look at it, not just kick the tires, but see what the language says. The devil is in the details. We're going to review the proposal to ensure that we're not giving auto companies a blank check, that we will hold auto companies accountable, protect taxpayers, and save thousands of auto-dependent jobs. They must have a plan to ensure long-term competitiveness, health, and profitability by bringing their costs under control. And I believe those points are essential, and I believe that my Republican colleagues and I, who have been trusting me to work on this along with the leadership, will insist on those elements to pass a plan. And as I said earlier, for all the reasons I laid out, it's critical that we try a rescue plan that would protect the taxpayers, put the companies back in a viable position, and protect all of the jobs, 220,000 jobs in Missouri, far beyond auto assembly, but dealing in auto parts suppliers, auto dealerships in every medium-sized or large city in the state.
Senator Nancy Simpson, why not make the car companies go through bankruptcy? How do you feel about bankruptcy in the Big Three?
Well, that problem has already been addressed, and Secretary of the Treasury Hank Paulson told us when we talked about this a long time ago that with the crisis that our economy is in, the credit crunch, to get what is called debtor-in-possession financing, which any bankrupt company going through Chapter 11 trying to reorganize has to have, would probably be impossible. And in any event, it would take a long time to work out the details. We're going to have to work out the details anyhow, but we better start now, because if we have an extended shutdown of auto production, that means shutdown and probably bankruptcy of the literally hundreds of smaller companies around the state that supply the auto industry. Auto dealerships who are just making it now would be put in a real hurt. I think the domino effect, if we break the manufacturing backbone of Middle America, which is the auto industry, it's going to take a long time to put that economy back together. And it isn't to say that as part of the restructuring, they might not consider some part of prepackaged bankruptcy, but only in the context of getting everybody on board and continuing to keep the auto industry producing, assure consumers that there will be companies there to service the warranties. The prospect of bankruptcy cut about 20-30%, according to one survey, in auto purchases last fall. People not wanting to buy an auto when they thought that the manufacturer would go into bankruptcy.
Senator, moving from the auto industry to the economy at large, President-elect Obama has talked about an economic stimulus that could get jump-started with infrastructure projects around the country. MoDOT Director Pete Ron is now actively involved in lobbying Washington with what he says are 34 shovel-ready projects across the state. Are you involved in any of that discussion at all, and do you think Missouri could benefit from this kind of economic infrastructure stimulus?
Well, I am a big proponent of infrastructure. I'm a conservative, but I'm an infrastructure conservative. To paraphrase Barbara Mandrell badly, I was for infrastructure before infrastructure was cool. Providing good infrastructure is one of the most important and legitimate benefits of the government. The devil is in the detail. The federal government is broke, so if we're going to ask our children to pay for an economic stimulus, they should at least get some benefit out of it, and we ought to put that stimulus into infrastructure, into roads, buildings, facilities that will last for many years. It's like taking a mortgage out to build a house. If you're going to live in the house for years, you can pay it off. Here, I hope we don't blow money on temporary assistance. The rebates that we tried last year had only a slight blip and didn't change the strength of the economy. What we can do to build roads, highways, water facilities, locks and dams, airports, perhaps even rail, if they will create jobs now and encourage jobs in the future, we can pay it back. To fail to do that would be to misuse stimulus funds.
Blagojevich, what are your thoughts today?
The accusations against the Illinois governor are shocking. I think it's totally unacceptable that an elected official would try to sell a Senate seat to the highest bidder. This is an outrageous betrayal of the public trust. I'm glad to see the Justice Department acting swiftly to address this crisis. It is absolutely unacceptable, and obviously he hasn't been convicted, but the charges are so serious. I hope that our friends in Illinois will take seriously the need to demand higher standards from their public officials. Well, thank you very much, Nancy and Adam. This has been Kit Bond reporting to you from the U.S. Senate. I hope you could join us again next year for another edition of Washington Listening Post.